Alright, hello everyone and welcome to I've Gotta Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation, a podcast within a podcast about my one-year journey to defeat 1997's Mortal Kombat Annihilation. I am Chris, I am your host, your podcast pal, and with me here today on this my 300-and-something time watching this stupid movie.
You should count.
I've got to count. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I keep track of it by, like, every night I post something about it on Twitter.
Okay.
And that's how I keep track of it. I know it's like tonight's either 320 or 321. Dangerously close to the end.
Yeah.
Dangerously close to
Exciting.
The end. But also, this is where it has actually seemed like it has been the hardest to keep doing it. Like, here, so close to the end. I've got a real bad case of senioritis. anyway, kids, friends, Romans. I am here today with someone who I have known for, what, going on 15 years?
Ish.
Someone that is already trying to leave the podcast.
Bye! Sorry.
Who is, do you want this? Is this what you were reaching for?
Yeah, I was looking around. I was trying to get comfortable.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Felt weird sitting with, like, both feet on the floor. Like, I felt weird sitting normal.
Yeah, like a normal person.
Like the doctor says you should sit. I was like, no, I want to cross my legs.
I got to sit like a weirdo with bad
posture.
I have
to have varicose veins when I get older.
So, talking to someone who I've really been looking forward to doing this with, because you're someone who I always have a good time talking to, and I feel like it's very funny talking to you. You're a funny person. You've got a background in acting and comedy and performance and whatnot.
Yes, I do.
Your name's Caroline Allen.
There it is. Good job.
And you are also, I think you are the first person I've had on the show that I have previously gone out with.
Ooh.
Unless you count Kurt.
Because you and Kurt had a thing for a while.
Well, yeah, we had whatever is fine. Caroline's now looking for where to put her drink down.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever is fine. No, I would say Kurt and I had a working relationship, a friend relationship that bordered on being married for a number of years.
Right, right.
Because of how in each other's business we kind of had to be.
Yeah.
So he has been on, but I didn't kiss him much.
Okay.
So
yeah,
we
kissed a lot.
Back 15 years. No, we'll see. Not 13-ish. Important.
13-ish.
Yeah, 13-ish. Yeah, when we were 13.
Right.
So Caroline, what is some of your background in comedy and performance and all of that kind of thing?
Oh.
Or would you rather me not ask you any personal questions?
I mean, I can answer that. I have a degree in theater,
mm-hmm.
And a master's degree in literature, which has nothing to do with anything other than I just have, like, a ton of debt that I'll have for the rest of my life.
Hooray!
Also, I know the truth about life, and it makes me sad every day.
Wow.
But that's what you do when you...
You heard it here first, folks. This is a real sclusy.
Woo! But my comedy training, I used to perform pretty regularly at a theater in Atlanta called Relapse. And I worked a little bit around Atlanta as well. And then I moved to Chicago to study at the Second City, and I did that. And then I crumbled under the pressure of... negative degrees, negative temperatures.
Right.
Mostly because I'm not built for that and it hurts.
It hurts down in your bones those cold cities.
It hurts a lot. And your soul. It hurts your soul. It was hard for me to be funny then. So,
yeah,
you know,
your soul hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. But a lot of people do it. A lot of people do it.
There does seem to be a lot of comedy in very cold places.
Yeah.
Chicago and New York both get pretty... And Canada.
Yeah. Canada's big in comedy.
And big in being cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
I don't know either.
You think... Well, and that's kind of interesting. Not that that's at all what we're here to talk about.
Exactly.
But, that Canadians have such a...
sunny disposition.
Yes, exactly.
Most people from really cold places do. I mean, look at, like, Norway and Sweden. They're the happiest people in the world.
That's interesting.
It's because they have a healthy view of life. They're like, winter's coming. It's going to suck for a long time. Better enjoy things while they're good. And that's, I mean, that is kind of I would say that's something that living in Chicago taught me.
Yeah.
Was that you have to be in the moment because it really doesn't last that long.
Wow. Guys, not only did I, but I am sure you had no idea you were going to get this kind of in-depth life advice and stuff on this awful journey I've put myself on and you sometimes listen to.
This terrible, terrible, tortuous idea of a podcast.
How long did that movie feel to you?
It felt like it was about 2 hours. I was like, seriously? An hour and 10 minutes? Did you mean 2 hours and 10 minutes?
Now imagine doing that every night on your birthday, on Christmas, on New Year's Eve.
You know, it's probably like winter in Chicago.
Yeah. Do you think you would ever watch this movie again?
Only if there was some sort of mind altering, like even like a ton of mind altering, you know.
Something.
Yeah.
Some minds should be altered when watching this movie.
A lot.
I think that kind of gives me a taste for it. But what, just before we get into our questions, what did you think of this movie?
I imagined kids enjoying it.
Okay, that's fair.
Not really caring.
I've not talked to any kids yet.
See, I think kids, I imagined a kid being like, you know, oh, he turned into a bigger dragon. Oh, no. You know, like I could picture a kid doing that.
Like a kid under 10.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Which kids under 10 shouldn't watch this movie.
No.
Should not watch this movie at all.
Well, why do you say that, though? I would say it just because that's like, seems like child endangerment to like
the violence or just like
just in to objecting
your mind,
like
the mind violence.
Yeah. Subjecting them to something so terrible.
Right. I mean, yeah, but also like the sexual themes.
Well, I was going to say, did you ever play the Mortal Kombat games?
Just at arcades and occasionally, like I remember I had a boyfriend that had one of those Sega handheld things.
Mm-hmm. A Game Gear.
Yeah. And I think I played Mortal Kombat on that.
It's possible.
It might have been Street Fighter, though.
That's also possible.
Aren't
much
those
better
kind of the same games, but with different characters?
Well, Street Fighter's real good, and some people like Mortal Kombat.
I said that to see how you would react.
The Street Fighter's, like, amazing. I mean, its movies are also terrible. But,
okay, well, yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me. It's like the big thing that Mortal Kombat had over Street Fighter, and we've talked about this, you know, probably in everybody's kind of back history on this game, and with this movie, it's like the big thing that Mortal Kombat had over Street Fighter was the fact that it's like had over the top horrific bloody violence.
Okay.
Street Fighter is like more cartoony.
Yeah.
But it also like feels.
Wait, this was bloody horrific?
The video games?
Oh, the movie.
Yeah, which that's what I was going to say. It's so weird that it's like the video games are, their big selling point was how bloody and like horrifically violent they were. And then this movie is like basically PG.
Yeah.
Like the fighting is so like fakey in it. And then the, I mean, there's some good fight stuff in there. I don't want Randy to get mad because he pointed out some of the good stuff to me. And there's some stuff that I've said before, like that I thought was like pretty cool. But the thing that, how there's almost like, there's no, almost no blood in this movie.
No, you know, I don't remember blood.
There's no swear word. There's that little bit of blood on the guy's neck at the end.
Oh, I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not
like,
enough.
Why is his dad mad at him?
That's exactly what she said.
What's happening? I don't know what's happening.
I'm not paying attention. What's happening?
I was looking at Facebook.
But it's like the, there's no blood, you know, there's no cursing. There's the violence does not seem real at all.
Yeah, there's no sexuality.
Yes, absolutely not. There's no what's the word? Humanity.
Right.
There's no like souls in anyone's performances.
Right. None whatsoever. Actually, there's way too much talking, I think, in this movie.
Like, yeah, exactly. I feel like kids that wanted to see a fun action movie would be bored.
Yeah, cut out the talking, and it's actually a much better film.
Maybe.
I do remember thinking at one point, man, the action scenes are at least it's mostly action scenes.
But it's, I mean, kind of. I mean, they do go, it's like very, like, sort of, like, clockwork. You have, like, one little, you know, it's like a scene, throw some action. Like,
you know, the only person that ever got dirty was that blonde girl.
Mm-hmm. And
then she was magically clean.
Yep. So it's fine.
Right.
It's fine. And, of course, when she got all muddy, the guy did have to comment on
it. Right, like, you look good in mud.
In a creepy way.
Yeah, because that's how you talk to women.
That's especially how you talk to your military coworkers.
Exactly.
Sadly, possibly kind of accurate.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what did you think of the movie?
I didn't answer that already.
It seemed like I cut you off there, which is my want.
You know what? I could see children enjoying it.
That's what you said.
With less talking.
Okay.
That's what I thought of the movie.
Okay.
But at the same time, it was fun to kind of go, like, and I also like thought about myself in the 90s. And I was like, oh, what was I doing in 97? You know.
What were you doing in 97?
When this came out. When did it come out? The end or the beginning?
It was probably like in the summer.
Okay. Well, it was the summer before my senior year.
Okay.
I was learning to drive a stick shift.
Handy.
Yeah, totally handy. What else? I was planning the, like, welcome to the band party for the incoming sophomores to senior band.
Wow. You were what we call a nerd.
Yeah. And as popular as nerds are these days. It was a wind instrument. I played the flute.
Okay. I thought it was the flute, but then there's another instrument I'm trying to think of that I couldn't think of the name of. And I thought maybe it's that, but I just can't remember the name of it. Have you kept it up?
Yeah, actually, I can take it out and it's in my car. You want me to bring it in and play it right now?
Only if you can bring it in and play the Mortal Kombat theme.
You know, if you found the music for it, I probably could. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, basically.
I like doing that.
Yeah.
It's things that band people do.
So you were heavy into band this in 97.
And also choir and theater. I was... Wow.
Trifecta of nerd pleasures.
Yeah, I didn't ever sit around.
You didn't? Oh, that you could say, I didn't ever want friends.
I never wanted to have sex in high school, and I didn't.
Of course, I only make these nerd jokes to you with the full knowledge that you know, like, what a nerd I was.
Well, that you're watching Mortal Kombat 2 365 times.
Oh, that's not nerdy now. This is like this is like a endurance test. This is like climbing Mount Everest or something.
I see that. That's right. That makes sense.
I'm sure that it came up. Our high school nerdiness came up in the past. I'm sure you heard the stories about me getting bullied for liking comics and having stuff, shoved in my lockers that wasn't me. Like, anyway,
that's
we don't
good.
Have to talk.
That's good. I mean, I got bullied because I was poor.
So, cool. You know, trouble.
Everyone had a lot of money at the private school that my parents spent all their money to. Oh my God. Anyway.
That's a whole nother podcast.
America. Anyway.
A whole nother podcast. Mm-hmm. Now that we've got your take on the movie and a little bit of your backstory, before we get to the questions, is there anything funny or embarrassing about dating me you'd like to tell the audience?
I don't know. Is there anything funny or embarrassing about dating me?
Oh, where do I start?
Oh, yeah!
No, I'm just kidding. I was not expecting you to necessarily actually say something. I just thought that would be a good... I'm cutting all this out.
Thank goodness. Thank God.
All right. So, let's get to the questions.
Okay.
If you think of one.
I will.
Behind the scenes, I'll tell you. I thought of that question earlier today before you got here. As I was like, that would be a funny way to start, like to first introduce you. Like,
yeah.
But then I forgot to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So then I was like, and I remembered as you were saying something else, I was like, oh, I forgot my funny intro question.
No, it worked. It worked.
Yeah.
Still worked.
And I imagined what might possibly happen was if I had opened with it, was then you would, like, something funny would happen. And you would say an answer, and then I'd go, like, as soon as you finished it, I'd be like, all right, and podcast over. But also then when I, in post-production...
Well, what's really funny...
And then after
is
the...
in bed, I'm just kidding.
In post-production then, I was going to just bleep out everything. What, even if what you said was not, like, something upsetting.
You should just do that anyway.
Well, I've already told everyone the
Dang
joke.
Dang it! Guys, pretend like you didn't hear this.
Anyway, so, all right, question number one.
Yes.
As best as you can, explain the plot of Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Okay. Well, so these bad guys, they're immortals, came to visit these, like, good guys. They're, like, really clean. Like, the bad guys have a lot of makeup. Bad guys wear a lot of makeup. That's how you know they're bad. The good guys, not a lot of makeup. They came to tell them that, like, it's over. They're going to destroy the world unless they can stop them. Right? Kind of, like, yeah. You can, whatever. And and everybody was like, whatever, we can totally stop you. You can't do this. And then, like, Horseface Dude. Was it Horseface Dude that, like, killed, like, that cracked that guy's neck, that broke that guy's neck? Or was he?
The guy from Buffy.
Yeah.
Cracked the guy's neck.
Okay, yeah, that's who I thought it was.
I didn't know if you meant literally the guy that looked like a horse, because he has a
the horse face guy? Or the horse, oh yeah, there is the horse body guy, and the, yeah. And a horse face guy.
Yeah.
And they're not the same.
No, they're very different.
They're really different.
They're different types of...
And there's a lady with four arms, but only two boobs, which is not fair, I think. If you've got four arms, you should have two sets of boobs.
Makes sense.
I mean...
I'm for it.
Everybody likes boobs.
Yep. Without question.
Without question.
Source of life.
So then they're like, oh no, what are we going to do? And they get in their like ball elevator and they go down. And they're like, I don't know, but we're tumbling down into hell apparently. And they smell each other. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, she likes him too. Because apparently I didn't know this. I didn't see the first one. He likes her.
Right.
Which was obvious when they like held onto each other when the ball like shook or whatever. But yeah. Anyway, all of a sudden they're like...
It's weird that you have to be in those balls face to face, too.
Right? Like, why do you? And they're like holding on, like, oh, it's such a bad ride.
They're in,
like,
the gyroscope.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yep.
Somehow.
Somehow. That's I can see those tunnels they're going through, like the
The
circuits of time. We just watched both Bill and Ted movies, a couple weekends ago.
Those are good movies.
Yeah, a group of us.
They're
really good.
I know.
I'm so good.
I created a lesson based on them when I taught junior high school so that I could watch it
seven in a day usually.
Yeah, six times in a row because I had a free period as a teacher. But anyway, let's get back to the point. So they're underground and then she smells him and is like, oh, he smells good. And then like these dudes.
I'm sure that's what it said in the script.
Yeah. Like, just, you know, give me that face that says, he smells good. And she didn't do it because she was high the whole time.
Because her face never moves in the entire movie.
They gave her some Botox injections before and she was like, I look so young. But anyway, so they're fighting these dudes and then like one of them. So there's like an ice dude that comes out of a robot's chest and he's like trying to like fight this other dude. And then... the horse face guy like comes out of nowhere because of the portals because he's got that tattoo thing and like it's all like it's cut like it's I'm putting it together now.
Right.
Anyway, and like grabs her and pulls her into like a purple portal thing.
Yeah.
Clever, weird effects. But anyway, and then we're like out in the desert with like the white girl and she's talking to the other white guy from Sex and the City.
Right.
I wish I could remember his name.
On the show?
Yeah.
On Sex and the City?
Mm-hmm. I'm
sure he has some kind of, like, interesting name. Like, because don't people on that show usually have, like, nicknames?
Weird, just kind of... Yeah, probably. But he was the guy that, like, forced Samantha to fall... Like, not forced her, but, like, convinced her to fall in love with him by being romantic. And then he slept with someone else. So, nothing changes.
Way to go, Raiden.
God. To cut that out.
I'll
anyway.
Bleep that out.
Anyway, and then whatever, there's another guy, there's like a black guy that was written by a white guy and it's super racist. And he has like giant arms. And he and the white girl fight together and she gets muddy and then clean.
Right.
And we talked about that. But anyway, long story. So then the Asian dude, has to like go looking in the desert. He's like, his girlfriend gets taken into that portal and he's in the desert like, I'm not going to stop looking for you. And then like a Native American ninja dude comes out and like throws an axe at his head and then he trips on mushrooms and meets an Asian girl that's like, don't you want to have sex with me? Because I'm one of your kind. It was totally racist. I really felt like it was really racist. And then all of a sudden he saves the his girlfriend. He finally gets to his girlfriend. It all runs together.
Right.
And saves her from this like cage and then this like troll thing with just jillions of teeth and like scythe hands. And then they're all together again, except for like the dude from Sex and the City got a haircut and took his robe off. Which apparently means that he's immortal now. I did not pick up on that.
No, he's mortal now.
Oh, mortal, right, because he was immortal before.
Right.
And they were, I guess that makes sense now that they were all like, what did you do? And I thought they were just surprised by his haircut. Because that's the way their faces looked. It's never like, holy shit, you're immortal now. It was like, oh, you got your haircut, dude, cool.
Oh, cool haircut.
Neato. So he leads them to, Horseface Dude and his dad, who doesn't love him. And they find out that they're related to Sex and the City Dude. And Sex and the City Dude is like, I'm going to fight you, but I'm not even going to try. and then he dies. And then there's like all these fight scenes that get cut out. And then the Asian dude fights the other guy, the Buffy guy, Horseface Buffy guy. And his dad's like, haha, you have to be mortal now. and he's like, Dad! And then his dad's like, and I never loved you. And then he loses the fight because, like, how can you fight after finding out that your dad never loved you? Unless you're the president. But anyway. Because I know his dad never loved him. And he fought and won.
Took a turn I did not see
coming. It's so hard these days. Yeah. But anyway.
You're so close to the end of the movie.
I know, right? And then somehow the Asian dude wins.
Right. It was his fighting prowess, I presume.
Probably because he was good at, because he's like younger. Kicking. He's prettier too.
Yeah, his face wasn't
like
strange.
Way better. Like that guy's face was already half sunken in from other injuries, I'm sure.
Previous.
And then they're back in green grassland with penis buildings.
Right.
Like literally the epitome of phallus. They're like, well, how do we make buildings that look like they're from another world? Just make them look like penises.
I think it's supposed to be somewhere like in Thailand.
Well, penises. There it is.
Okay.
And then the Sex and the City guy is like back to life, but he's just like dirty.
He's all dirty.
And he's like, hey guys, it was cool hanging out with you. Take care of yourselves. And then he half turns into T-1000 and disappears. And then they're all just like, what a fun day. And it's over. Did I get it right?
Yep. That's exactly right. That's
and
what
the world, the world doesn't end too.
Yes. Yeah. It looked like you were just like reading the Wikipedia summary. Right. So
in my mind.
Yeah.
In my Google contacts.
Question number two.
Okay.
How many characters from this movie can you name?
None. I don't remember. There's a guy named Jax. That's all I know.
Okay. So you got one.
Yep.
See, you're already doing better than you thought.
Yep.
Who else?
I literally have no idea.
Okay. One. So far, you're the reigning champion of losing.
What? Wait. Well, can you give me hints? Is that allowed?
Well, I mean, you clearly know. You remember, like, all the characters.
Yeah, I remember the characters.
Anyone's name.
I'm terrible with names.
Right. And you only knew that guy's name was Jax because you read it on a Facebook. Because
my friends were talking about it on Facebook. All right. Hey, guys.
So, number three. Mm-hmm. Did you like this movie?
I mean, I enjoyed watching it with you and getting to talk out loud about it.
Yes.
If I had to see it in a movie theater with someone that was like, shh, I would punch them. I would become violent, probably.
Yeah.
I'd be talking out. I'd be like, you guys, are you guys paying? Because I did that in Armageddon, when I went to see Armageddon.
When what happened?
It was when they were fighting over setting off, whether or not they were going to set the bomb off.
Right.
And they were also fighting, like there was a chance, but if they set it off, then there was no chance. And the guy was like, well, let's just set it off now. And I was like, this is not a logical argument. And then they're also arguing on the asteroid. And then all of a sudden, everyone pulls guns out. Like, they've got guns on the asteroid. They've got guns down. And I went, and I just was like, and it was a full theater, too. And I was like, is anybody paying attention? I was like, why did I pay for this movie? Thank God my parents still pay for everything right now. Because that was, like, right after high school, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was That movie was the...
Did you know that movie's in the Criterion Collection?
It is the dumbest movie that's ever been made.
Oh, goodness, no. I could certainly...
Okay, you're probably right, but also...
It's real dumb.
It's real dumb.
Yeah.
And there's a... Roger Ebert has a great review of it in one of his books. I hated this movie or whatever.
However many oh, that's times the name it. Of the book?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the review. I was no. Like, that is funny.
It's like pretty much, yeah.
What's the review?
I mean, I can't remember the title of it.
Oh, I just mean, what's...
I think it's Armageddon. But one of the things he says is that, like...
You brought it up. We got
there's
know.
An asteroid the size of Texas or something headed towards Earth. And he was like, you know, you can tell that this was written by, you know, people on cocaine or something. Because they were like, it's an asteroid the size of Texas that's going to cause a global event. When really, you would really need just an asteroid the size of the Super Walmart in Abilene, Texas. Which I thought was funny because yes. I went to school there.
Yeah.
Like, of that Walmart and the parking lot together would cause a global event
if
it hit Earth. And I enjoyed the... That's what always made it very endearing to me. And also the fact that he was like, this is stupid and idiotic, and I can't believe I'm watching this.
Well, let me ask you this then. You know, the director of that movie, Michael Bay.
Right. Oh, what a great guy, though.
He's made five Transformer movies. The fifth one's coming out in the next couple months.
Yeah, I enjoyed your Instagram thing with yeah. that. That's what I do to Fast and the Furious movies. I'm just like, no!
Every no, time no, I see no, a poster, no, no. The Fast and the Furious movies are great.
Are they?
Yes. They are not... Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm so excited to get to talk. We will have to save this for later when we're not recording, but
yeah.
Fast and the Furious movies are wonderful. After it's like... Because basically from 5 on, they just turn into superhero movies.
Oh, okay.
It's like... But their superpowers are cars.
Okay.
It's like... It's incredible. And then also, as soon as The Rock gets put into the situation, then it's like... Oh, hooray!
It's all even
charisma.
Better.
Charisma!
Yeah.
Number...
Because everyone else is just trying to be hot and serious.
Yeah.
Like, don't you want to do
these movies me? Take serious. These movies take such a dramatic hairpin turn into a totally different thing that it's like 1, 2, and 3... never mind. We'll talk about this later. Number 4. Should people watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
With riff tracks.
Okay.
Or you.
Yes. Well, we do have there's a goal on my Patreon now that if we hit it, then I will record a full length commentary track for this movie that people can listen to along with the movie.
Which, or they could just listen to all your podcasts and then watch the movie and think about the things.
All like, the funny things.
Like, oh, I remember when they said this.
Well, it's like, but also I was thinking as we were doing it, like this one would have been a good time watching it to record. Because I felt like we were doing a good job of making fun of this movie to each other.
We were.
Yeah.
We were.
All right. And so, number 5, final question. Mm-hmm. Should I keep doing this?
How many times do you have left to watch it? Like 15 or something?
I'm watching it 365 times.
Oh.
So, every day for a year. And I'm at 320 or 21 tonight. So
it's about like another 40-ish.
Yeah.
Oh, what do most people say?
Well, most of the people I've asked were much earlier in the process. You're the first person that I've gotten interviewed so close to the end now.
Oh, okay.
So some of the people early on said...
We're like, no way, man.
They were like, this is, you know, you should have already stopped. You know, the further it's gone, of course, the more supportive people have been.
Mm-hmm.
I think Peggy had my best answer, had the best answer when she was like, if you choose to.
I mean,
yeah,
that's the answer.
Yeah.
But also, like, I mean, I wouldn't.
Yes. But you also wouldn't have watched it
right.
Three
I wouldn't
times.
Have done it in the first place.
Yes.
But at the same time, as an artist, who am I to judge your process? And this is something that has caused you to create.
That's true.
Has prompted you to create.
Right.
So, you know, who am I to say, this, I hate our freedom because of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure some people do hate our freedom because of you.
I know some of them. Yeah. Some of them have let me know as much on Twitter.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. No, but yeah. You're not an idiot because I know who you are. And right. I know how you work.
If you can call this a process for getting, if you can call this madness that I'm doing a work, then yeah, I guess
right.
So. Well, all right. Is there anything you want to plug?
I mean, you tricked me and told me that we were going to be talking about Buffy.
No, that's a different podcast.
Oh, okay.
It's two separate things. That's I'm having you on. See, this show is about watching Mortal Kombat.
Oh, and then okay.
My normal show, which you would know if you'd listened to it.
that was really appropriate.
Yes. is you know, a show about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. And of course, I wanted to talk to you because you're the person I know that is like the most into Buffy.
I've listened to the Liz one.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the one you post on Facebook. Do you post them all on Facebook?
I post all of them on Facebook, yes. But I'm sure the one with Liz was just the one that was most interesting to you because you were like, hey, I know her.
Right, and I don't know you.
She my friend.
Right. Yeah. But you didn't talk about Mortal Kombat in that one.
No. I haven't done an episode of this with Liz.
Okay.
We talked about Batman versus Superman.
But you didn't really talk about it.
In the first, we did two episodes.
Oh, she hadn't seen it.
No, we went and saw it, and the next night, we saw it together.
I listened to the first one.
Yes, you listened to the first one. And then the second one.
I am a horrible person. But I know I'm not a sociopath because I asked my therapist, and she said no.
Well, it's also good that you have the, like, self-recognition to wonder if you were.
Am I a sociopath? Yes. No. It's part of the journey and the trouble and the struggle.
But this has certainly been super fun. This has been one of the most fun times I've had watching it with you. Was like, we had a very good time.
I was hoping you would say that.
Yeah, we had a very good time watching that. There was a lot of laughter during this time. And because sometimes people, I watch it with people and they're just like so dumbstruck by how dumb it is.
Oh, but I love bad movies.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I watched Independence Day last year. That's a terrible movie.
It sure is. Yeah. And that came up while we were talking about it because Jax is so clearly influenced by Will Smith in Independence Day.
And I saw that multiple times in the theater.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I will say about Independence Day,
Will Smith is great.
Well, yeah.
And I also mean, Jeff Goldblum was in it.
Yep. And
that's why I went to see it multiple times.
Bill Pullman's speech at the end of that movie is still the most rousing speech of our generation. Like the most unifying speech of our generation.
Yeah. I love that guy.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know how you could possibly have been alive when that movie came out and like gone to see it and like not hear that speech.
And the thing about him is that he was so like, he wasn't like what you would describe as like a really masculine dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was like, my wife died. Like he was an emotional man.
He had emotions. He was the sort of the 90s man of like that era where it was like
the sensitive guy.
Yes. Even though he used to be a fighter pilot. It's like really trying to show that he has, that he's
compassion.
Yeah.
He's good at the,
that was a big thing in the 90s. This was like trying to show that like it wasn't moving away from just those big dumb action guys. Like,
isn't it weird how compassion is a theme when Democrats are in office and toxic masculinity reigns when Republicans are in office?
Boy, that's interesting.
Trying to say anything about politics. Yeah. Just, you know,
it's interesting. It's just an interesting fact.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
But he is kind of, he has that compassionate side.
Yeah. He does. I mean, and he was...
I didn't know if I cut off where you were going with that.
No. And then with the scene, like, who didn't cry when his daughter ran into his arms afterwards? I mean, I didn't. I cried because I thought Jeff Goldblum was going to die. I was like, no, he has to be at the end. Yeah.
And weren't you glad he was?
Yeah.
And you didn't go see this new one, though, even though he's in it.
No, because... Did you see the ratings?
Yes. But, you know... Also, but I will say, and I might put this in the show notes because it's fantastic. Did you see the interview he did where it was him, Jeff Goldblum, interviewing his character in Independence Day, David Levinson?
No.
It's like a 10-minute interview on YouTube, and it is the... If the whole movie had just been that, that movie would have been a huge hit because it is just... It's amazing.
I'm sure.
It's transcendent.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
We should put that on right away. Well, anyway, guys, all right. Caroline, is there anywhere on social media you want people to follow you?
Oh, well, I don't know what my name is on Instagram.
Okay.
Is it, I'm going to look.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. And, but
I think it's at Nancy Caroline.
Is it? Yeah,
I think
probably.
It is.
And then, let's see, I have a blog that is sometimes emotional, sometimes funny. Right now I'm kind of, I'm going through the timeline of my life, getting into the depression years. But I'm trying to offset it
just
with
the chef kiss.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I mean, if you are aching for some aching.
And she doesn't mean Clay Aiken.
Oh, no. Because that guy is still around.
He's in politics.
Yeah,
now,
he ran for office. He lost.
Why do we know that?
Because America. But anyway, it's Caroline Loves You. Because
my homepage is geocities.com/user/Clay Aiken fan.
That was a good one. That was a gut laugh. I was like, just air. Just like, I'm an uncle.
it's Caroline Loves You.
.blogspot.com, right?
I think so.
Is it Caroline Loves You More?
Maybe. I'll put the link in. I'll find all this stuff.
Yeah, it's just look up Caroline Loves You Blogspot. It'll come up.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not.
Okay. That's life.
Yeah, but I do talk about Buffy a lot in it. A lot of times I compare what's happening in my life to episodes of Buffy.
Through the lens of Buffy.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, this has been super fun. And we'll do this again, talk about Buffy.
Yeah!
She was doing like a real exaggerated, animated cartoon movement. So
that's how I dance.
Follow me on Twitter @TheChrisHaley. Follow the show @KICTMPodcast. Go to the website, keepitclosetome.com for all the show notes and all that kind of stuff. You can support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. Thank you to everyone who already does that. You guys are the best. You have mail coming. What else is there?
Patreon sounds like an evil corporate overlord.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well,
bring your concerns to Patreon.
I'm real thankful for them. and for all the people who support the show on there. Questions and concerns and all that stuff, all that good kind of thing, send that to keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. And remember, be there for one another. Your family. You have any questions or anything before we start? Not about the movie. I mean about...
Why am I here?
I'm afraid I don't know.
Why am I here?
Well, you said you'd be on a show, so that's basically why you're here.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get pizza in a minute, so that's going to be rad. Oh my God, I'm so excited about that pizza.
Me too. Me too. Me too.